Alrighty, everybody. Ready to get started with our word today? Pastor Gary here, Streams of Life, and we are ready to get started. So before we get started, I'm going to start with prayer. So Father, I just thank you, God. I thank you, Lord, for what you are doing here with Streams, God, that you are moving mightily, God. You have protected us. You have kept us safe, God. You have continued to lead and guide us, God. You have given us your word, Lord. And Father, we know that it is your will, God, for us to continue to seek out your will and your purpose, God, for our lives, to reach those who do not know you, God, and to have your kingdom here on earth, God, established. So, Father, we just ask for more of you as we continue to dig deeper, God, into your word to uncover this new normal, God, of what we are going to be about when we come out of this on the other end so that we can be even more about Father's business. We thank you for everything you are doing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The one person. So how are we doing so far? I can talk to you guys. So, all right. This is the last part of the new normal. So what we're finishing up with this week is, a kind of a small series. It wasn't intended really to be a series, but it turned out to be one. So, that's the way it works. But in the study of the new normal, we first talked about how praise and how we have to adjust our viewpoint and how we view praise, right? And then we adjusted into our understanding of moving forward in power and what it means to move forward in the power of God and what he's expecting us to do with that, right? So as our last step in this journey is going to take us, and I can only thank Pastor Stiles because he's rubbed off on me in the threes. And also not only are they the same number of three things, but they're also the same letter. So we've had praise, we've had power, and now we're going to move forward into, not pretzels, prayer. Not pretzels. We have a funny thing going on today. This is good. I love it. Laughter is good for this. It's so good for the soul. So when it comes to prayer, I really feel like one of the things we have to do in prayer is we have to adjust how we view prayer. And I think a lot of the times when we look at prayer and we read what the Bible teaches us about prayer, it's very simple for us to just go to a very simplified version of prayer. And, you know, you learn prayer usually when you're young and you're a child and you learn how to pray to God through, you know, your bedtime prayers and, you know, some of those types of things. And then maybe you go into, you know, your dinner prayer where you're praying for your food and everything like that. But God gave us prayer for a different reason, and it's actually a powerful weapon. You know, we sing a song about that. And so when we understand that God's given us this powerful weapon, prayer, for us to utilize, okay, as his children, we're responsible for how we utilize the weapon. And unfortunately, what I've recognized and seen in not just here at Streams, but in the church worldwide, is it's become very watered down. And the potential that happens to be in that power of prayer is now minimized. So what you see is not really effective prayer accomplishing much of anything. You see it not doing very much of anything at all, in my opinion. Now, I mean, I could be sat down and talked to with maybe some other, you know, people who pray a lot and maybe seen some things. But I look at scripturally and I see the things that were done in prayer. And as we even covered in power, when we looked at the power of God moving, those things were established through prayer too. It wasn't just they believed and it happened, but they were prayed through. So all these things happening simultaneously, we see how God's people moved way back when, and I don't see that happening. I just don't see it. It doesn't mean that it's not. I just don't see it. And so what I'd like to do is to kind of take a look at where we maybe got off on the wrong track, and then we'll do that adjustment. We'll do that new normal adjustment. Okay? So let's start with Ephesians 6, 14 through 20. And we kind of started this last week. We were talking about it. And if you're not familiar with this part or where we're at in Ephesians, we're talking about the whole armor of God. So stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And here's the key. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I might open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Why is this part, and this is what the question came to me immediately, was in the study, and you've learned, and we've all been through the Armor of God study. I mean, the women have even done the Armor of God study a couple times, you know, in learning what these pieces of the armor represent and how they build us up, right, in our faith, right? We know this. In the very end of this descriptive breakdown of all the pieces of your arsenal of equipment, is praying always at the very end. You've been given all of this armor, and now you've been tasked to do what? To pray always. And I questioned the reason and the rationale for the setup in this, and what's God trying to say in the organization of his scripture here, and why this is pertinent to us as believers. And the reality of it is that the armor is meant to cover you. Right? It covers these areas. It covers all these different parts of you, right? But there's a purpose in why it's there. So what is the purpose? Well, we go to the very first part, right? Your waist girded with truth. What you believe is protected. The truth, the gospel, what you read, what you bring into your spirit, what you believe is truth. All those things are protected. That sounds good. Alright, next thing you get is the breastplate of righteousness. Your righteousness or your position with God is protected. Nothing is going to be able to stop or move you from your position with God. Really, the only person who can mess that up is you. Next part, the preparation of the gospel of peace with your feet. Peace means you should have no fear. If you have peace, there's no room for fear. Right? It just cancels it out. So your peace is protected. Next up, you have the shield of faith. I love this one. What is the shield of faith? What does faith do? Faith is forward, right? So what the shield of faith allows you to do, it allows you to move forward. You're protected in everything you're moving forward to. Everything you're progressing towards is protected. And on top of it, any attacks that come at you during that march are quenched. So not only do you not have to worry about where you're going moving forward, but you don't even have to worry about the attacks that are going to come against you in your pursuit to move forward in your faith. That also is protected. Next up, the helmet of salvation. What's protected here is your remembrance of Christ and what he has done for you. And not only that, but everything that was put to death on the cross, the old man, you're protected from. That means you're protected from anything that can come back from your old self back onto you. It's been taken care of. Okay? This is all here. I'm just giving you what the word says, right? And lastly, the sword of the Spirit, right? Which is the word. And this is our direct connection to God for wisdom and guidance. Everything you spend your time studying and reading the word of God, and you're using the word of God in conversation, every word that comes out of your mouth is protected through this armor, right? Now, this is all important. I find that this is where we mess up, because we spend so much time in prayer praying for all of those areas that are already covered. We pray for all of those different areas that are protected and covered under the armor. So what it means is one of two things. Either you're not wearing it, so you feel the need to pray for it, or you're not trusting that the armor is going to do its job. And we spend a lot of time praying on that. And that's actually going to be proven. So there's going to be a checklist here, or not a checklist, a grid. Ken can put it up here real quick for me, the chart. So this is Barna. This study was done in 2017. So it's a little old, but I still think it's probably relevant because I really don't think much has changed from 2017 to now. But if you take a look at it, it's breaking down the things that we focus on in prayer. And number one is gratitude and thanksgiving. And I think that that's good. Giving God thanks and praise and gratitude for what we have. That's good. The next thing, the needs of your family. Personal guidance in a crisis is next. Your health and your wellness. Confession and forgiveness, that's prayers of faith, you know, leading somebody to Christ. So that's good. Things I suddenly feel compelled or urged to pray about. That could be something led by the Spirit. That's also not bad. Safety in my daily tasks or travels. Covered. Peace. Covered. Blessings for meals. Covered. Anything you eat will not harm you. Right? Anything you ingest. Specific requests from another. Concerns about nation or government. Concerns about global problems. Your sleep. And it just gets less and less. Now, the reality of this is what we see in this guide and this breakdown of what we have is the focus on where we pray and then maybe so the focus on things we don't pray. And one of the things I recognize that goes on with believers is that we treat prayer like it's a checklist. How many people do that? They think it's like something I have to check off. Like you go, okay, I got to pray for this, I got to pray for that, I got to pray for that, I got to pray for this, and I pray for that. Okay, I'm good, I'm done. I did my prayers for the week or the day or whatever. And you run it off like it's a checklist of things you have to pray for. I know in our family, one of the things we do is we pray for dinner. And Jessie is exceptionally good at praying for dinner. She's got it wrapped up in about 2.5 seconds. It's not a bad prayer, but you know, she thanks Jesus for the food. She blesses the hands who prepared it and bless it to our body in Jesus' name. Amen. It's real simple. It's not a bad prayer, right? But I was joking with her the other day and I'm like, well, if we know that everything we ingest isn't going to harm us, do we have to worry about it being blessed to our bodies? It's already blessed. Jesus already protected it. It's covered. Right? So blessing the hands of prepared and thanking God for the food, I think is perfectly fine. I have no problem with that. I think it's perfectly okay to do so. But we know that it's already protected. Nothing will come against us. No thing we ingest is going to harm us. We've been promised that through scripture. So where I find this struggle happens is it deals with our beliefs and understanding that we don't either know entirely how much is covered in our relationship and under the blood of Christ, or and this is where I think is that we tend to think that we have to control that situation. So, and what do I mean by that? Well, it's kind of a force of will. So if I prayed for it, right, that means I'm in it. I have a part to play in this, but that doesn't require now faith though. Because faith believes that what is said here and what he promises to you is done in Jesus' name. It's already been done. It is written. Therefore, it's complete. There's no lack. There's no lack in Christ. So if we read and Jesus says, this has been given unto you through faith in me, all we need to do is count on our faith to Jesus and go, it's done in Jesus' name. It's already been done. He's covered it all. So in that, I go through the armor and I go, all of these things have been provided for you under Christ. So all you need to do is agree with the scripture that's written and go, Jesus has already done this. It's finished. I live and walk in this now. It's my everyday life. I don't need to pray for it. I live it. Does that make sense? It's a different way of thinking. So what does that free you up now to do? It should free us up to refocus on what we're praying for. And I think that that's kind of the purpose of where we're going. So we pray for a lot of things over the course of a day. But again, as you saw, majority of those prayers focus around who? Focus around us. And you can go through that guide and look it up. But a lot of the time, our prayer life and everything in our prayer life is generally focused around us. Not just us centrally, maybe not us praying for ourselves directly, but through some kind of vein or attachment, we are. We're praying for our family. We're praying for a cousin. We're praying for, you know, somebody close to us. Or we're praying for our job, or we're praying for our finances, or we're praying for our food, and the list goes on, okay? But if we already have those things, and those things are already prayed for, what it really then becomes is it's kind of like impatient prayer. That's what I call it. Because God hasn't moved there yet. It doesn't mean he's not. It doesn't mean that he doesn't rule and reign over it. Let's use finances. How many people pray for finances? Be honest. How many people pray over your finances? It's okay. It's okay. Especially when times are not good, right? You even pray more about it because you really want to make sure that your bills are covered. You're not going to get kicked out of your house. All these wonderful things. Like, you don't want to lose your livelihood. So you pray that God's going to move mightily in your finances. But God's already moving mightily in your finances. He's already taking care of you. He's already your provider. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is taking care of his kids. He does not leave us orphaned or widowed. He covers us. So if he knows his business is always to be taking care of his kids, especially in that department, right? Me praying for it is not being patient with God's timing. I'm demanding God move faster. I'm demanding God get on my schedule and my time and do it according to when I need it done. Not understanding that he has a plan and a purpose that's greater than any of my comprehension or understanding. I don't necessarily have to like the situation that I'm in, but I do have to respect that this is what God has going. And there's something greater that he is producing. There's something better that he is going to do. Because what I have planned is never going to be good. But his plans are far greater and far better for my life. And so we have that impatient prayer. We pray for what we don't have now because we feel that the need is now. We get this overwhelming sense of urgency, and so we pray in those areas. Okay? And I lead that to go is the question, do you really trust God as Lord of all? Do you really trust God in his protection plan over your life? Do you really trust God that he's got you covered? Do you believe? And that's a hard thing to swallow. I understand that. That's not easy to understand or to digest sometimes, because it really checks your spirit to go, do I really trust him in this? Do I really give him full control? Do I give him all authority? Do I give him all of my plans, all of my finances? Do I give him it all, or do I withhold? And I'm not just saying in tithe either. I'm talking about in everything. And usually these prayers of impatience come out of an uncomfortable world that we live in. We don't like what's being brought upon us. We don't like the uncomfortable nature of where we are. We don't like how we have, what might be going on in our life at the time. And in reality, that's not God making you uncomfortable. That's actually the world making you uncomfortable. Because what's the world's objective? What's the enemy's plan? To get you uncomfortable, to get you unhappy with God and his plan and his timing so that you turn your back and walk away. It's an insidious plan, but believe it or not, it works. Because a lot of believers lose heart and lose faith in God's timing and walk away because they didn't either get the answer to their prayer or they didn't like the timing that God was working in. And out of that impatience, they move away and they adopt a world system or a world standard, which then they build their life upon that standard. And then they wonder later down the road why they have so many problems in their life. And it's not because God didn't move. It's because we were just impatient and we built something that was not intended for our life instead. So the new normal of prayer. I think it's about time we get on to the good news. Because that sounded like it was very hard to swallow from the responses in the small gathering we have. But look, it's still there. It's all God's word. So 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 4, is where we're going to go. And this is where we're going to get our new normal. You guys there? Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Four simple scriptures, and I bet you guys missed it. Might be going, what'd I miss? Well, did you catch all five categories of prayer? Ah, see, there are seven things the Lord hates. Right. See, I love my sister. We have comedy hour with this stuff. There are five categories that prayer falls into, but I bet you're sitting there going, wait a minute, you only read four. And you're trying to figure it out. Here's the key. You wouldn't figure it out if you were just reading what is in here. You'd actually have to go and study. But good for you. I've already done the study for you. So you don't have to. So I'm blessing you guys with studied information today. You'd have to actually go and dig in. And really find out, what do these words mean? What do all of those words actually mean? Because it's very easy to just read scripture and go by and then go, oh yeah, oh well, I know what prayer is. Oh, I know what supplications are. I know what intercession is. And you just go on. And you go, oh well, there's only three. Five. What are those five categories? Well, if you dig in and you do a study on prayer, you'll find out what those five are. The first one of these is adoration. Adoration. An adoration, a prayer of adoration is giving glory and honor. Well, who does that go to? It goes to the Lord. It goes to God Almighty. It goes to Him for what He has done for us, right? He is worthy of all glory and honor and praise. We sing those songs because He is worthy of that. And believe it or not, in that worship, in that form of worship, those songs are prayer. They're really songs of prayer. Like the psalmists were writing. Those are songs of prayer. They're powerful. But they give glory and honor to the King because He is worthy for what He has accomplished and done. Not just for you personally, but for all of mankind. Right? Does it make sense? So that's the first, adoration. The second one, we should all know this one because it's the only way you came to the Lord. Prayer of confession. Right? Confession is an acknowledgement of your crime or fault or declaring guilt. How do you get to the Lord? You admit you were not a good person and that you do not want to remain a good person. So you confess to the Lord what you have done, and in that, His forgiveness, the blood, covers over all of those sins. Not just the ones you did before you came to the Lord, but even the ones you're going to do after. He covers it all. But we have to confess. And that prayer confession should be consistent. How do we continue to confess our sins? We repent, right? If we make a mistake or we mess up in life after Christ, we go, we repent, we restore relationships. All that's still confession. And that's a part of our prayer. Supplication, which is here. But many people go, what's supplication? It's a big word. It's a Scrabble word. Supplications are petitions or earnest requests. I love the word earnest. It means there is an immediate need. There's something that absolutely needs to be addressed. And so what do? You go to God and you petition Him. What's a petition? A petition is basically very simple. I mean, I know a lot of people are writing petitions to their governors and all this stuff right now and demanding that they reopen their state. What are you doing? What's the petition for? You're going to them asking for them to do something with their authority and their ability on your behalf or on the behalf of others. Petitions don't necessarily revolve around you. They could revolve around other people. I don't have to be a woman to fight for women's rights, do I? No. I can petition on behalf of injustice for women because I feel as though it's a wrong injustice. I have every right to do that. Okay? The next one is there. Intercession means in between parties with a focus to reconcile. Intercession is huge because in the church, we're responsible to intercede on behalf of the lost to reconcile them back to God. A lost art, in my belief, in the church. And lastly is thanksgiving, which is rendering thanks or expressing gratitude. Again, this is an easy one. But you don't, again, have to just be sending prayers of thanksgiving to God. This is extended to anybody or everybody. I can be thankful for all of you, for what you guys do for streams day in and day out, and how you serve the Lord. I'm grateful and thankful for you guys. So in my prayers of thankfulness and thanksgiving to you guys, I let God know how much I appreciate you guys. And you guys are in my prayers about that specifically. But here's what's interesting. Of those five categories, of all five of those categories, only one of those categories is centrally focused around you. And that's confession. Because confession is from you directly. My wife cannot confess my sin. It doesn't work that way. I have to own my guilt. I have to own my shame. I have to own what I have done. Somebody else can't pay that bill for me. Jesus paid the ultimate bill, but I have to confess when I have done something wrong. It's my responsibility. Okay? And we get adoration focusing directly on God, and then again, thanksgiving of God and others. But supplication and intercession are where I believe we've missed in prayer. I believe that this is where the church has missed generally, and over the course of many years, this is where that prayer has become so watered down. In Timothy, which we read, okay, we're directed to the subject of this. So we get in the very beginning, I exhort first all supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for subject, all men. Well, that seems very sexist and wrong, doesn't it? If you were just reading all men as that's what it was. But all men is not actually what it pertains to be. It's a translational thing. So it's not all men, just male, or all man, mankind. What it is, it's actually all types of people. It doesn't care or consider your race or your creed or your ethnicity. All men is, in a sense, all mankind, but the only difference is there is certain individuals in the world who have adapted and put on a lifestyle of evil. I don't know if anybody prayed for Hitler. I'm not saying that people may have or may not have, but I just don't think that people did. I wasn't around during the time. But those are individuals where an evil has consumed them so greatly that God has made provision for certain outlets for things that they've done. Now, that's God's control. He's judge over all. So what he does in the end is entirely up to him. But we know that God has his place in where he stands with those things. He doesn't side with evil. So, but then immediately following that subject, comma, for kings and all who are in authority. This is hard. Because sometimes we get so focused into the world system, we don't pray for our leaders. Because we don't agree with their policy or their politics. Or because they're a Republican. Or because they're a Democrat. Or because they're a socialist. Or because they're whatever. Okay? But if we're to do this and we're commanded to do this through the scripture, we should be doing this as not a means to control or manipulate. But what is the reason why we pray for them? It says it right there. we could live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. The reality of why we pray for our leaders is so that we can continue to move forward in what God has planned for our lives. And I look at our current situation and I go, is the reason why church was deemed non-essential because the church hasn't been praying for its governmental leaders? Is it because the church has taken a back seat and just accepted what the government is doing in hopes that it'll just treat the church the way it's supposed to? Or have we not been praying for our leaders to have that committed level of guidance and moving forward and being able to continue to keep the church where it is allowed to continue to operate in godliness and live a quiet and peaceable life? But who's covered in all this? Okay, your mayor, your governor, your senator, your president, right? And also your spiritual leaders. Here at Streams, that's not a hard thing. That's Pastor Gary and Pastor Gary. And if you're under a leadership team, that could be Miss Holly, Miss Jess, Miss Irene. You know, but it's not hard to pray for spiritual leaders, but I do believe it is inversely hard to pray for our governmental leaders, right? But what's the end goal? What is all of this for? What's the purpose of it? For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, of our God and Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. The goal. God desires all to come to the saving knowledge of His Son. And when we recognize that our new normal of prayer life needs to be fixated and focused in a direction, this is the direction. The motivation of our prayer should be focused on others way more than it is on ourselves. Our goal should be prayer for those who we don't know, those who are not saved, those who need to come to the Lord, those who need a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, who need to know the truth. And when we understand that all of that protection and everything that our salvation has given us, it's almost like, why would we not want other people to have that same level of protection in their life? Why would we not want people to have all that? Prayer is just, we have to get rid of this understanding and idea and philosophy that prayer is just me conversating with God. Your casual prayer with God is, yeah. I mean, you can talk to God right now. He's here. Nothing's stopping you. He'll listen. He loves listening to His kids, especially when they're talking to Him. He'll stop the universe just to hear us talk. So we know He's interested in continually wanting to hear what we have to say to Him. But when we're using prayer, the weapon of prayer that God has given to us and fashioned for us for a distinct purpose, that weapon of prayer is not directed over a session of us coming to the Lord and making our requests known to God. I love that scripture because, you know, we take it and we go, you know, well, we make our requests known to God and it's done. Anything we ask for, God will do. I don't think that we understood what was really actually being addressed or provided in those scriptures. It wasn't about our needs and what we want. It was about producing things to progress the kingdom of God forward. It's about giving us the things that we need so that we can continue to move out in faith and in might and accomplish His will on earth. It wasn't about isolating us. It was about propagating us. And it's hard to understand because we've adopted this for so long. And I think some of us do that because we treat God as though He's distant and far. That if it's like snail mail, like I have to pray today for God to move in my job situation so that 2 weeks from now I can get the job that I applied for. And that if I don't pray for it now, it's not going to get there in time and, you know, it'll get lost in the heavenly airmail delivery service, you know. The angels are going to mess it up. Didn't put postage on it. That's not how God works. God's right here. He's right around you. He's standing right next to you. You're sitting on His lap. You don't need to go far to ask God for something. You don't have to wait for a lifetime for it to be accomplished. God is there now. He wants to hear your voice. He wants to talk to you. But what he's more interested in is, are we praying for the things that we really should be focusing and praying for? And I think that the other issue that comes into line is the reason why we treat God that way is because we look at ourselves. And maybe we register ourselves as unworthy. God won't listen to me because I said this curse word today. God's not going to hear me now because I messed up. Okay. Well, let's go back to the five areas of prayer. Why don't you pray to God and confess what you've done and allow his forgiveness and his blood to cover over you? Because even in that prayer confession, guess what? He hears you. You don't need to do all this extra work. It's real simple. If we really take prayer for what it is and utilize prayer how it was designed to be used, we should see much, much more movement in the Spirit and much, much more movement in the power of God accomplishing what his will has always been from day one for us. And when we recognize that purpose and that plan that he has for our lives, and that the part that we play, because once we accepted Jesus Christ in our life and we now have Christ in us, it's not for us to bunker down and have tea with Jesus. That's not what this was designed for. The reason, because if that was the case, think about this, just reflect on this momently for just a bit. If that was the case, Jesus could have come off the cross. He could have lived forever. He could have continued doing miracle after miracle. He could have continued setting captives free, healing sick, doing this. God could have just dwelled with us for all eternity. He could have kept going. That wasn't the case. Why? I leave that question to you guys to get the answer from. He could have done it. We know he can. He can do anything. He's God. So there's nothing in his power and might he could not have done. But he didn't. He chose to do it this way. And there's a reason why. Because there's something that we have to understand and gain in the understanding of what his kingdom is going to look like when we go up. When we leave here, what it's going to be like when we're in his presence. What it really means for him to dwell with us. It's not just him sitting here next to us. It's going to take a lot of adjusting to understand what it means to call a perfect stranger a brother and a sister. Somebody you've only met one time, now all of a sudden they're your blood relative. That's not going to be easy for people to comprehend and understand, but that's why Jesus designed what he designed with God. This is the plan. So the plan revolves around you and I taking and carrying the kingdom and moving and marching it forward to each and every person that we come in contact with, and even those that we don't know. But the only way it's going to happen is if we pray that it happens. So the challenge to you guys today is this. First, are you a prayer checklist person? If so, throw it out. Stop it. Just stop it. Not going to threaten you to bury you alive in a box. That's Bob Newhart's job. But then next, are your prayers focused around you and your needs? When you pray, are you focusing and praying to God that he do something on your behalf? Or that he do something for your benefit? Or that you are taken care of? If so, and this is a practice that I personally have implemented, shift gears. Drop the clutch, shift gears, get into the next thing. As soon as I start praying and I start seeing that prayer develop in my spirit, excuse me, and before I even utter those words about praying for something in my own need, I go, I got back out. That's not what I'm here to pray for. I'm here to pray for you guys, or I'm here to pray for somebody else. God's got me covered. I'm taken care of. And that's what I do. And that's how I've developed a new way of prayer where I'm not praying for myself. I'm praying for everybody else. I'm not praying about my needs. God's got me covered. Do I have to know how he's doing it? Nope. If he deems it necessary for me to know, I feel honored. But in ultimate reality, he's got it covered. And I have to trust and believe he does. That's how we move forward. But understand that when you go and you allow yourself to be open and conscious of what this new prayer walk and this new prayer life is going to look like, you might be praying for people, and I can pretty much guarantee, because he's done this with me, for people that you're already at odds with. People that you may not get along with. People that you may have written off. People that you say to yourself in private that I don't want anything to do with them because they did X, Y, and Z, or they said X, Y, and Z, or they did this, or they did this, or they said something to my kid, blah, 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 fill in the blank. All these wonderful things that happen in our lives because people are people. But that person might need Jesus. And that connection is you. And so by all means, I would welcome you to start interceding on their behalf because they might not ever get another opportunity but you. And I think if we change our mindset and stop adopting this mentality that they became somebody else's problem, God put them in your life and crossed your path, whether they were good crossings or bad crossings, for you to connect them to Jesus. And through intercessory prayer, they might have a chance. Be it, you might even be the only one. And when we think that way, hopefully our mentality and our mindset changes to where we don't write them off. We send them to Jesus through prayer. It's a different way of thinking. I can tell you it's not going to be easy. I can tell you that it's going to be rough, especially if you've been centrally praying for yourself for so long. And you've been praying for the needs of your own life and the needs of whatever physical needs you have. It's okay. I know I had to adjust too. But I get the bigger picture now that this is the importance. This is what God's focus is for us. God's focus for Streams especially is to get us adjusted to this new normal so that we can start really impacting not just Williamstown, but everybody, regardless of where they are. Because you might have had somebody who you knew who lived in Williamstown and now they're in Tennessee. Does that mean that they still don't need Jesus? Does it mean that God can't move mightily and connect them? Does God have the power to do that? Absolutely. We have to stop harnessing and limiting what God can do and believe that through our prayer in this avenue, in this vein, this is how we bring his kingdom here. Amen. Amen. So Lord, I just thank you, God. I thank you, Father, that you have given us the plan, the process, and the procedure, God. You've mapped it out for us, God. You have told us what you expect from us. You've given us time and time again, word after word, through every bit of your scriptures, God, of how you care for your people, how you take care of the needs of your people, how you cover every aspect of our lives, God, thoroughly, inside and out, God, so that we do not have lack. We put our faith in you, God, to cover all of our needs so that we, God, can be fixated and focused on doing and accomplishing your will on earth, God. Whether it be, Father, through our praise and celebrating what you have done and what you have accomplished in our life, God, whether it be through moving in power, God, and putting that faith on display, or whether it's praying it into action, God. You have given us these tools, equipped us, God, to go forward and move mightily, God, and accomplishing your will, God. And accomplishing the great commission that you've set us forth to do, God. So Father, I thank you, God, that through your word, we are encouraged, God. I thank you, God, that through your word, you have continued to lift up and edify your body, God, to accomplish these tasks, God. And that, Lord, you have equipped them, God, to succeed and not to fail, God. So I pray, Lord, right now, that as you release your saints upon this world, God, and as you give them utterance, God, and they make that speech a reality in their life, God. They will see that mountain move into the sea, God. They will see the miracles before them, God. They will witness you accomplishing your feats of majesty before them, God. They will testify, God, and they will declare that it is from you, Father. So I thank you, God, that you are about us and that you are about your business through us and that you have included us in this great and wondrous plan of yours. And I pray that we will be obedient and following and listening to your Spirit as he moves and motivates us, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I just want to thank you guys for tuning in with us today at Streams. I just want to give you again the opportunity that if you're looking to give online through Streams of Life, you can give to Streams of Life through streamsoflife.com and click on the give button. And at the top, you can go ahead and hit the donate or the PayPal button at the bottom. And that's where you can do that. So God bless. Have a good time.